the current period of transition that the Yagya is in, and we'll be looking at it from two perspectives, practically, and Brother Charlie will share his insights or reflections from the meetings that were happening a few days ago down the mountain. But more importantly, we'll be looking at it from the spiritual perspective. In other words, how do I personally position myself spiritually within these times of transition? So Charlie will be addressing both these topics, and then we'll have a chance to work with them ourselves. Thank you, and welcome to Charlie.
Good morning, everyone, and Om Shanti. I wonder, before we start, you may have noticed there's 50 sisters and 5.5 brothers in the room. I'm just wondering, would the brothers mind moving here, and then some of the sisters can move here? It'd be nice if we're a bit closer. I'm feeling a bit lonely up here on my own. So if the brothers don't mind sitting down, thank you. Yeah. What does everyone feel? It'll be fine.
14 passes.
So welcome everyone once again. I think it's really lovely in this season that now we're catering for the different generations in the Brahman family, because our learning changes, doesn't it, as we go on. The way we learn and what we want to learn does change. And it's lovely that I think one of the main forms of learning as we progress is to share with our peers in a very open and honest way. And so I think it's really lovely this group is together. And I was remembering that when I turned 10 years old, we had a meeting with Bap Dada. And there was about 5 or 6 of us from foreign countries. The first thing Baba did is he said to all of us, "What's your specialty?" He didn't say it, he asked us, and no one said anything. And then Baba said something which I've always remembered, that he said two things actually. Just the fact that you're still here means you're a powerful soul. Basically, Baba was saying that you've survived your 15 years, or you're a powerful soul. So we should take that, you know, and that's true. That's absolutely true. But he said one lovely thing. It was a time in India where a lot of the Indian brothers and sisters were celebrating their 25 years with Baba. And Baba said, 25 years in India is like 10 years in the West. So when you've done your 10 years, and if you do your calculation, like if you're 16 years, you can double it, 32, and add 8, so it's like you're 40 years in Gyan. So actually we're a gathering of, many of us have already passed our golden jubilee. But this is Baba's mathematics. But I think it's a significant thing, because Baba knows that, you know, taking birth as a Brahman, spiritually sustaining myself for 15 years, developing a stable state, surviving sometimes in places where there's a handful of Brahmins, virtually no company older than myself sometimes, I think it's a great credit. And I know for me, and it was for many of you, I was, you know, started helping to run a center when I was a year in Gyan. You know, we don't really know much more than the people we're giving the course to, and yet that's how we've learned, actually. You know, it's called the sink or swim sort of approach to Brahman life. What I'm going to do is just try to share a little bit of this meeting. And Belinda was also there, so maybe if you want to chip in at any point, please feel free. Because it's actually come up once or twice over the last few years, but that we should have really a gathering with both seniors from India and also foreign countries. Because It was amazing, actually, in this meeting. Someone said, and I forget who it was, when Daddy Prakashmani took over responsibility in 1969, how many centers do you think there were in the world? How many do you think? Well, what we were told in this meeting, that there was 125 centers. Maybe there was other smaller Gita Pathshalas. Can you imagine? When Brahma Baba left and Daddy took responsibility, there was 125 centers and one country, service in one country. After Daddyji left her body just a month or two ago, we now have official activities in 104 countries of the world, unofficial activities in about another 20, and we're probably way up near almost the 900,000 BKs. We often say, what is there? 8,000 or 9,000 centers, and perhaps thousands and thousands of smaller places. So what it really means is that we're an organization in extraordinary growth. And perhaps the feeling that came through for the reason for the meeting is that, quite honestly, for a long time, no one really have heard of the Brahma Kumaris. When I first came to India, and you would travel on a train, and when you're a foreigner, they always ask you, you know, where you're going, and I'd say, to the Brahma Kumaris, and they'd say, where? I'd say, to the Brahma Kumaris. I would say most Indians hadn't heard of the Brahma Kumaris. These days, everyone in India has heard of the Brahma Kumaris. It's a complete change. And because we're becoming visible in the world, you know, up until now, perhaps people haven't really noticed us and what we do. But as you know, the nature of this Iron Age world is as soon as we become more visible, the world's going to put us under a microscope. They're going to say, who are these people? And let's be open that religious and spiritual groups don't have a good reputation in the world. And the first things they start to look at are finances, the way we run things, the way we care for people, our principles, many things. I suppose, you know, that the feeling was, you know, that we do things well, but maybe we can even do them better. Maybe we can even upgrade our the way we do things. And one analogy we had, and David from the art department made a poster. Poor David, he did it in the last few hours before the meeting. But there was a picture of the world. And you know that analogy, there was a big butterfly on one side of the world and a hurricane on the other side of the world. And there's that analogy that they say, you know, a butterfly flaps its wings in one corner of the world and there's a hurricane in the other. In other words, whatever happens in one corner affects the other corner. We live in a world where news travels in a split second. And so there was the feeling that we have to mature into a group or an organization that will respond to these present conditions in which we're living. And it was really thought, you know, what is our code of conduct? How do we operate? All these sort of questions were coming up. And the meeting was titled An International Get-Together, Reviewing Policy and Planning of Our Global Functioning, How We Work in the World, big subject. We're a huge organization now. And sometimes, you know, as happens often, the organization grows faster than often our customs, our systems, and our infrastructure. That's almost natural. But maybe we want to see how we can catch up a little bit with the growth. Reviewing policy and planning of our global functioning, our spiritual needs, our family needs, our training needs, our service needs, our organizational needs. Just a little bit of a look at these things. And what was really, I felt quite touching, was when we started, we spent the morning, Daddy Janki spoke and Daddy Gozar spoke, the senior brother spoke, but Nirvebhai gave quite a passionate, heartfelt sort of talk. And he was saying, you know, he said, this is the first meeting that Daddy Janki, as our new administrative head, is overseeing. And really the significance really hit me. You know, it's the first meeting. And the significance was really, I think, strong in everyone's mind that, you know, Daddy is the one who Baba sent out and has been our parent for all the foreign service. And as soon as she takes over, even though this was planned, the feeling was Dadiji would have been there. But it wasn't, and she's now the new head of the organization. And first time that really, I suppose, the centers in the west, you know, outside of India, is best to say, and India, have really sat together and had a heart-to-heart chat. And there were the daddies, there were the senior brothers, there was a lot of the zone in charges of India. And, you know, the zone in charges in India run, you know, like Gujarat, Karnataka zone, Maharashtra zone, you know, a massive, hundreds of thousands in some of those zones. These are massive zones, and their operation is way beyond us. And what we learnt in the meeting is, in many ways, you know, India is really so advanced in so many aspects of service, which we know. There was also zone in charges from the foreign countries, or RCOs as we call them, the NCOs, and special instruments, because some were invited who have expertise in finances, legal things, etc. Because we live in that world. And one of the things that, you know, Baba has to do is we have to operate according to God's principles and God's ways. The beauty of Baba is Baba has his own system, but we have to respect and work within the systems and laws of the world, which are becoming more and more sensitive. And so that's a fine balance to work. I think you know the history of the Yajna, that Brahma Baba really never wanted to register the organization with, as he said, the core of a government. But as we know that we have to do things properly in this world. So what happened was we sat together in the morning, then in, there was sort of a discussion about what we would do. And then in the evening everyone sat in small groups of five. And there were three questions, I hope you don't mind me reading these things because I'm trying to remember myself, that we all looked at. The first one was just looking out around the room, you see faces from around the world of our godly family. Take a few minutes as a group to talk about the feelings that come when you see the whole Brahman family around the world. And that's, I think, something which we all love when we come here. I find it one of the most touching things that Baba's children have emerged from every imaginable corner of the world, from every religious background. And also then the main question was, excuse me, it's just been something I've had to be a part of this morning. Think back to a task or situation you are aware of from the past several years which you felt wasn't dealt with adequately. What would have helped the situation to be handled more effectively? This could include spiritual support, family support, support for service, additional training, and new policies and procedures. In other words, I think the whole meeting, Baba's way is always to focus on the strengths. And it was sort of like, okay, we all know, each one of us in every center of the world, things don't happen according to our ideals. That will happen. But it was almost a way of looking at some situations and how we can do them better. And these were conversations of the heart, just open conversations. And actually, we really wanted to just see how, if there are areas that we need more training, more understanding, even policies and more organization. And as someone said, and this is one of the, I would say, the big challenges for all of us, why do we love Brahman life? One of the main aspects is we're a family, right? We love the family feel. We don't want the family to change into some rigid organization with, oh, someone's rung the doorbell, now let's look up our code of policies. Who are they? Can we let them in? You know what I mean? There's a rule and regulation for everything. And yet, on the other hand, We are an organization, a service organization to glorify Baba. So in a way, our happy balance is to maintain our lovely family feeling where our hearts are close and yet be accurate in the way we function as an organization. And let's be honest, sometimes those two things cross over and they conflict a little bit. And that's something that all of us as mature Brahmins have to understand. And as we were doing this, what was lovely is we all sat in groups and then afterwards each group presented. And Ken had this software, which I don't know, you know mind mapping? You know mind mapping, which as everyone gave their ideas, he was sort of sorting them out and they were all going into the different areas. And then later that night we sat and we found about 6 or 7 areas where we felt that we as a group can learn and improve perhaps. And that's perhaps a way that we have to look at more deeply. And quite frankly, it's very early days. It's almost like we have to look at these areas in more depth. The one area which was probably given most interest from the groups, what do you think it would be? You might find this a bit interesting. What do you think it would be? No one said anything. Become a good student. Thank you. It was actually resolving grievances and conflicts. Interesting. Because I think, you know, we are a huge organization. And sometimes what happens is, as we know, some people are dissatisfied. Now, dissatisfaction, we could say, spiritually, is a huge part of our own journey, isn't it? It's for me to learn, but on the other hand, we do work as a group and an organization. And so sometimes there's conflicts, a person has a grievance with another Brahman, an instrument soul, or something like that. And what happens sometimes is it's not really ever solved. So it continues. It's not really properly solved. And so there was the thought that we perhaps need to learn more about something which is so common in your workplaces around the world, in perhaps a method according to Baba's family, Baba's system and Baba's way of conflict resolution. Whatever we like to call it. Because some of them felt that, you know, we just don't have to dance to the tune of what the world does because Baba has his own way. But maybe we can be trained. And even it was said later, and I'll talk to this a little bit later, that in India, the sisters go through extraordinary training for centre life. Amazing. I'll tell you about it in a few minutes. And it was suggested that perhaps a part of that is proper systematic method of resolving conflicts. There's brilliant ways of doing it. And some of Baba's children worldwide have university education in dispute resolution and this sort of thing. So it's just like a common sense step. And so a team has been formed to take this forward. Nothing has been decided. It's just been a team has been formed to see how we can learn more about this. Then another group was looking at all our resources and perhaps how our resources can be used better. And once again, Daddy Jenki said an interesting thing. Daddy is a wonder, because why I find Daddy amazing is at what she's always learning. And you know what she said at this point? She said, Baba has his own way of doing things, but now, seeing the state of the world, she used the word, we have to be more professional in the way we do things. She used the word. And once again, this is a challenge, isn't it? Because to remain a family, but maybe become just a little bit more accurate and appropriate in the way we do things. I can tell you my feeling, I felt for a lot of time, that sometimes the way we do our programs is not very professional. But somehow I've always liked that, because it's authentic. It's who we are. I feel the more slick we are sometimes, people have a little bit of mistrust, especially with religious organizations. If we look too slick and corporate, I think it sends a message, you know, what's behind all this? We should be who we are, but at the same time, the way we do things with our finances, the way we run by the laws of our country is so important, because if some VIP stands up and says, the Brahma Kumaris have the answer, within 10 seconds, the media will be at the door of the Brahma Kumaris saying, well, what is your answer? Who are you? Show me your finances. You know, they will look up the internet and they will be after us, because we live in a cynical world. We live in a cynical world, unfortunately, and they will look. And it's almost that we shouldn't be afraid, we shouldn't be paranoid, but we have to perhaps become more accurate in the way we do things. So it was thought that perhaps there's some countries who are very advanced in their setup of their administrative systems, because they're big. The UK is quite set up. It has a board of management. It has professionals in all the areas of finances and legalities, and they're very careful to monitor the changes of law in their country, etc., etc. And so it was just felt maybe some of these people can help the rest of the world set up systems according to our legal ways, etc., etc. Once again, very, very early days, but this is the discussion. Training was the third area that came in. And, you know, they say the best organizations are learning organizations. In other words, training. And I tell you, I felt for a long time that sometimes we come to Baba, in our first few years everything is new, but once after 5 or 10 years, of course we have to become spiritually deep enough to find newness on a daily basis. That is one of the most rich qualities of a Brahman soul, to reinvent my creativity, to keep newness. But at the same time, I feel the generations, like us as a generation, would be wonderful if we had newness in our learning as a group and so on. So each generation has something new. But Nirvebhai, I asked him, and I said, Nirvebhai, if you want us to go forward as an organization, what is the single most important thing? And the first thing he said was training, which I found really interesting. Because the training of those who have responsibility in centers, responsibility in service, responsibility in the family, is the foundation of the way we move forward. The more we understand, the more we feel equipped, the better, more confidence we have to do our job. It's true, isn't it? So I think that, you know, what was suggested, and Sister Usher actually spoke to this, that in India, you know, when the sisters move in the center now, they have a 3-year training. And you may not have seen, but down in Shantivan, they've built this amazing new training institute. Have you seen it? That building with those amazing towers. And they're now going to, I think the sisters come for 3 months, and then they're sent to a center for a period of time. Then they go back to their original center. They spend time with their family. They keep coming back so that there's a uniform training for all of India. You know, it's being centrally organized. And they're now going into the minutest aspects of not only teaching and the spirituality of a teacher and my spiritual foundation, my core principles, but, you know, really all sorts of things to do with center life. And, you know, so many things. And I think it's a real support. And they even have 2 streams for the sisters who are educated and the sisters who are uneducated. Isn't that lovely? That they're actually, because some of the sisters who come forward haven't had an education, so they still are helping them. So once again, in foreign countries, and this had happened a little bit, there was a proposal made that we also have some time for a month or two each year where all the centers in the world can send people, brothers and sisters for a proper training, perhaps by an international team, which I think would be terrific. So, and then it was also suggested by some that even the countries, the NCOs, also have some training as to how to integrate back that person into their field of service as well. So I think lovely ideas. Once again, very new and a lot to move forward. Another one was communication and decision making. And this was just more about how we communicate around the world and how we make decisions, etc. Another group was upholding our spiritual principles. And quite openly, it was said perhaps one side effect of an organization growing so fast is that sometimes there's a bit of slackness in our Mariyadas and our principles. And it was thought, how can we improve that with compassion and love and understanding? How can it be done so that, you know, purity is the absolute driving energy behind us as an organization? How is that remained absolutely central and core to our existence? And how does the strength of that principle, how do we pass it on to generation? Because we all know as things grow, these things also change a bit. One other area, probably the three big areas, the first was the resolving of grievances, the second was training, the third was what was described as family care. And this was really interesting because we are an aging population. You know, all of us when we started, you know, when I started in 1975, I sometimes tell this, there was a myth in the Yagya that the world would end in 1976. And we thought, gosh, we've got 8 or 9 months to become an angel, karmatite and pure. And really, we thought, no problem. No, you know, we're so optimistic. 32 years later, we're still here, you know. Got a bit grey. And that means that, you know, in India, once again, there's a huge support system. There's a big family. And there's care inbuilt. But there's a big question around the whole Brahmin family worldwide. How do we care for the aging and the ill in our family when we have limited resources? And this was lovely. It was a really compassionate thing. And there were some lovely sort of thoughts put out there. But once again, it's very preliminary because each country is totally unique. Some countries have a social welfare system which is so powerful to support people. Other countries have nothing. But what can the family do to help, etc., etc.? So this is like in discussion how we can do things better and really care for the Brahmin family. And there was a strong feeling of doing this much better into the future. But one of these things which came up was mental health. And because that is an important issue. You know, we live in a time when the World Health Organization says that one in four people, or one in five people, 20 to 30% of our population suffers from clinical depression and other major mental disorders, bipolar, you know, psychotic things, etc. It's a reality of the service field in every country, and quite honestly, it's no different from continent to continent. I've seen statistics. It's much the same wherever you go in the world. Although some people may say differently, there is. Because it's the end of the cycle. Many souls are suffering from many heavy karmic stories which impede many things. There's a lot of mental suffering. And it was just felt that we have to learn more within our family how to understand this and work with this. Because, you know, what I've learned in Australia is that by law in Australia, we had to develop a policy called duty of care policy. It's the law that every organization has to have, how you care for the physical, mental, emotional health and deal with problems and grievances, all this sort of stuff. It's actually the law, but also with mental health. And what we found interesting when we looked into it is that in the Brahmin family, for instance, when someone has some mental problem, we tolerate and tolerate. Because Baba says, children, give respect, accept everyone, which we should do. But in the world, that's not considered care. Tolerating is not care. Getting professional help is care. It's a big difference. And this is another thing that maybe will come more into our learning as a teacher and running out of the organization is, you know, when someone is going, and sometimes after some years in Gyan, things emerge. It's not to put a stigma on an individual, but it's to help them properly resolve and move forward or, you know, deal with it in an appropriate manner. So these sort of things were looked at. And also we looked at the history of the organization because, you know, once again, when it becomes a, you know, we're seen in the world, there's a few different versions of, you know, slightly different actually, our beginnings and et cetera, et cetera. So maybe we might look into developing one accurate version of the whole history of the Yajna. And what I, you know, experience personally is that, you know, even in my Brahmin life and your Brahmin life, things change. Some things will never change, and that is certain principles and practices which are absolutely core to the Brahmin family. But when I started, for instance, one of the principles was to write a chart every day. Just like you're a vegetarian, you wrote your chart. And I can even remember we were so enthusiastic in those days that there was one chart which some of us used to, had 108 questions. And I'll tell you honestly, I never finished it once. I fell asleep before I sometimes got to question 80 or so. That's how, you know, in your childhood, how sweet. But, you know, then Daddy Jenki said an interesting thing. She said that sometimes if every night I sit and I look at my day and, you know, the chart was, how much do you remember, Baba? Well, not much. What vices came to you? And in what force? All of them, strongly. You know? And if every night you're writing this down, you know, it's like you're underlining a bit of hopelessness. So she said, even though in the Sakamoli, Baba said, do a chart. She said, if it helps you, if it's a positive experience, do it. But if it's a negative experience, underlining negativity, then don't do it. Very common sense. And so these changes do happen. And maybe, you know, we are in a time of transition, but the whole of the confluence age is always change. But what do we have to do now? And I think that, in a way, you know, this question perhaps we can discuss in a few moments, but I think what I'm noticing, what everyone's commenting on these days, which is inevitable in life and in a family, is that the generations grow older and then leave. And we've always come here with the daddies, the dadders, the seniors, you know. But actually, we're now becoming the elders of the organization. And I feel a big message to all of us is that rather than always thinking it's others, it's us actually. We have to step up and take responsibility for the atmosphere within our family. I think all of us have to say, you know, we just can't rely on one or two or 10 or 20 or even, it's actually the whole fragrance in our family depends on all of us. And often I've had a thought, when we're a child, we win Baba's love. We're all Baba's children. When we become a server, we win Baba's respect. We're all servers here. But really, when I become an instrument, I really feel I'm an instrument to help sustain the task. We really win the trust of God. You know, we really win Baba's trust. And it's like, I think to step up to win Baba's trust, it's not that I just take my ideas into my mind, but it's like I feel, yes, I have to be a pillar to really support the future of this organization. And, you know, one of the things, the greatest asset we have is experience. I really believe that. Everyone in this room is incredibly experienced. Experience is the greatest teacher. Is there a better teacher? We could come here and sit in training for a year, but out on the service field, within the Brahman family, in my own spiritual journey, each one in this room is a gold mine of experience. Some of us express it through our mouth, some of it express it through our attitude and just our behavior, because we all play a different part. But I feel that experience is a great power, and one of the forms of experience everyone in this room has, which I feel is such an important thing for the family and the next generation, is we've had to really look at our sanskars, haven't we? I don't think anyone 15 years in Gyan, we all have a honeymoon, but at some point, some deep things emerge inside us. Is that true? Is that true? Because, and you know, that is such a wealth of experience. And actually, I think that's the foundation of becoming compassionate to others on the journey. When sometimes we really hit some deep things. And I've sometimes thought that, you know, as a child, you know, it's a beautiful, we take birth as a child and everything's new, but change is superficial. You know, it's more change of our habits. And habits are things based on culture, this birth, family, parents. You know, we have our habits. We change our eating, our lifestyle, and we quickly move into Brahman life. We feel it's easy. It's not a difficult. It's a beautiful honeymoon time. Then as we enter into the Brahman family, it's a growing up period. And that is a wonderful period too, where we have more challenges with various personalities in the Brahman family, perhaps. It will happen. It's a part of our journey. It's not wrong. It's the way we learn. I feel it's there that we change what I call soft sanskars. You know, things perhaps created in this life or the last few lives, they are a bit strong. Forms of prejudices, intolerances, maybe dishonesties that I see in myself that need changing. And, you know, as I work, I begin to work and I change these soft sanskars. But for many, and it's not uniform across the board, but after a few years or many years, sometimes or often, you know, we can call it a spiritual midlife crisis sometimes, that some sanskaras emerged that I thought I'd changed. You know, I thought actually I'd left years ago. They emerge sometimes with quite a force and it can shake my foundation. I start to think, am I progressing? Am I going backwards? It can get to the point for some, am I a BK even? You know, the foundation. It's not for everybody, but many go through quite a shaking period because sometimes deep things can emerge in the soul. And we have all sorts of reactions to these things, you know. Because sometimes I think initially in Brahman life, rather than transforming, we can suppress. We don't even realize it's not even wrong because it's our habit from bhakti. But things emerge. All sorts of things. And I think that because we have experience of sometimes facing these things, bringing change, moving through it, that is such a wisdom to sustain our family. Not only our own journey, but living in the heart of the family is no small thing. I feel personally the way we conquer ego is to live in the heart of the family. I really believe that's the method. Because you will have to listen to things. Sometimes you're in front, sometimes you're behind, sometimes you're given a chance, sometimes you're not. It's perfect learning to chip away to form this beautiful, humble, sweet being that can work with souls of almost any sanskars. And that's really, I think, the great beauty of living in the family. And, you know, really bringing change within myself. And I think that you know, we have this experience, and I feel that it is our responsibility to become the pillars, help the generations coming in to create a solid foundation, offer compassion, understanding, and advice as they move forward. And one of the things I've seen in my own journey is that, you know, sometimes when in our family, we see members struggling, you know, they struggle. Because the sanskaras come up, there's a conflict, and they're struggling. And, you know, I think one of the great forms of support is what I call spiritual support, which is nothing more than an attitude of benevolence and goodwill. I see your goodness, I have faith that you can make it, and your attitude can help someone move through. It's different from emotional support. Emotional support is often sitting, talking, helping, you know? Talk. We need to do that sometimes, but it's more the attitude of goodwill that you are my brother, you will get through it. I've talked to many souls that have said, sometime an instrument's attitude of just hope and goodwill in me was what carried me through a difficult period in my Brahman life. And I feel that, you know, one of the roles that our responsibility as we move into the future, this period of transition, you know, Baba says everything's going to happen suddenly. Our stage is the foundation and our example. You know, once I read of something which has always been in my mind that Albert Schweitzer said, you know, that man who was in Africa. Shows how much I know about it, doesn't it? I was grappling for. Thank you. But he said a lovely thing. He said, example is not the best form of leadership, it's the only form. Example is not the best form of leadership, it's the only form. Honestly, it's our lives that really create the foundation in this family. It's our stage. And I just feel that the more we have the courage to step up and say, hey, Baba, I will put my hand up. I'm going to be an absolute foundation of stability. I'm going to have the self-respect. And I feel that's the message at the moment. Step into my self-respect. This constant battling, I'm not good enough. I'm not ready. I just don't think it's time for that thinking anymore. We have to step into Baba's vision that I am ready. No one else is going to do it. No one has 15 or more years of experience. We have to step up and just take that role. And I think our stability will be a rock, because I think that's one of our major responsibilities, is no matter what happens, the influence, the greatest influence on me is Baba, and not personalities, upheavals, situations, and all that. And quite frankly, years of being on the service field, someone asked me yesterday, how has it helped me? I just feel I've got less and less influence by all the things that can happen on a service field. And that's great. You just maintain, you know, you have the confidence. Anything can happen. And Baba's the main influence on my mind and emotions and my state, and not the vibrations. Even when others come with panic and fear in front, you know, we really remain like a rock. And I think in the family, I feel our service is the atmosphere. What one of the things I loved from last season was when Baba gave that beautiful three-step process of atmosphere. Our main service in the Brahma Kumaris is atmosphere. I believe if you look at the world as speakers, we're very average, quite frankly. There's some people out there who are brilliant at oration, at talks. Some BKs are okay at it. What we're good at is the atmosphere. And the atmosphere has the loudest message. An atmosphere of purity, soul consciousness, will speak to the original sanskaras of souls. in our family. It's a loud message. It will touch something profound inside them. They don't even consciously know what it is, but they'll be really attracted. Baba said, first is my attitude, then there's the vibration, secondly, third, we create an atmosphere. This is the service of the elders of the family, to hold the family in this atmosphere. And what was the attitude? Respect. I think we have to become the master bestowers of respect, almost regardless. Respect is an attitude that values everyone. And I think that was the message from Daddy G for me, that at this time, the way to move forward is to learn the art of giving respect. It is the art of valuing everyone and everything. And as instruments, people coming to our centres, people we have every level of stage. Some of them are totally loving, cooperative, sweet. And some of them are very unstable and lacking in self-respect. And sometimes it's our attitude that can help them move forward. And I think that's a great, great service that we have to do at the moment. I really believe that. It's really a part of our family care. So I think that, you know, there's a flavour. When I first started, you know, no time is better than any time. You know how some people say, oh, in the good old days, you know, when I first came 20 years ago. I must admit, I'm never into that. I'm not sentimental about the past, personally. But I do feel that when we first came, we gave total attention to the Brahmin family. Nowadays, because of so much busyness, a lot of us, our attention is very much to systems and administration. But I think really, if we really want the Brahmin family to become strong, to become close, we have to give time. And we really do have to give time. And I know it's a lesson I have to learn, without a doubt. But that's what makes the Brahmin family strong. And I think one of the messages is that, you know, the greatest asset Baba has is all of us. And the better when we're happy and sustained, then we will be sustain the next generations. It's a cumulative effect, isn't it? It just naturally works. And that's where I feel we have to step up. This group has to step up. We have to say we are the elders in the foreign countries. You know, not just in our own country. We have to hold the family through our attitude and the atmosphere we create. And this is how we're going to move forward. Because sometimes I think out of the whole 5,000 years, the most magical time is still to come. I really believe that. The most wondrous time of the whole cycle is still to happen. And there's probably how many years left, we don't know. Because we will see God's glorification. And we are a part of that, the greatest revolution in history. It's incredible. How lucky are we? And yet at the same time, we're going to see massive upheavals that some of us have never imagined. Once when I was new in Gyan, one of the brothers in Australia was an artist. And, I'm going on a bit, I'll stop. He's an artist and he had to paint a picture of the Golden Age, the Confluence Age, and he was asked, and then by the destruction, and he asked Jagdish Bhai. And Jagdish Bhai painted the most amazing sort of picture of how massive destruction will be. It's going to be absolutely massive. Things that we never imagined are going to happen. Baba's children will be revealed because we will remain the angels, the stable angels, the benevolent angels at that time. The drama's invoking us to step into that stage. Time's invoking us. Baba's invoking us. It's up to us now, rather than saying honesty is doubting myself all the time, saying, oh, well, I'm not ready, Baba. Can you give us another 25 years? Time won't do that. We have to just do it. And I think it's a great topic of conversation. Just stepping up, saying, Haji Baba, I will do it. I'll step up. I'll have the self-respect that I am an instrument at this time and I'm going to do it. And not think it'll be somebody else. So let's just move into small groups and maybe we can have this discussion around what is really our responsibility. Sharona, is that okay, or do you want to share with everybody?
I don't know about all of you and also Charlie, but as I was listening, I was really relating to the image that Charlie was describing of what is our role and the invitation that, yes, it's now time to step up into that. So without putting too much of a negative color into it, I was thinking it might be useful to take 5 minutes or so of just some silence and reflect on that vision and kind of understand where am I in my journey in relation to that vision of the role that's being offered to us. And then maybe, if Charlie, you think this is a powerful way to go, we spend a little time honestly identifying what's keeping us from stepping into that role. What's not allowed us up to now to take up this responsibility of, as Charlie was saying, holding the family, serving through this most powerful yet most subtle way, through our attitude, vibrations and feelings and the atmosphere. And so we can then get together and share not just where we feel we're at in this journey, but what's holding us back and what are we going to do about that? Does that work?
It's fine.
Does that work? Huh?
We get to sit in small groups too.
Yes, yes. So what I would suggest is take 5 minutes to reflect on these three things. I'll repeat them again. And then I would like us to sit for 20 to 25 minutes in smaller groups of four. And then we can meet again. And if anybody has some outstanding areas where they want some more clarification or question, Charlie will be here. How does that sound? Huh? So the three questions again are questions or reflection points. Firstly, honestly, where do I position myself in this journey of becoming a holder of this family, the true server, serving from attitude, feelings, and the atmosphere? How do I position myself in this journey towards becoming this true server? Where am I on the path? And many of the things that Charlie was mentioning, in saying Haji to Baba, in stepping up to this responsibility. This is all the first reflection point. And secondly, honestly, what's holding me back if we do feel that it's not happening as much as we would like to? We're not moving forward on the path like we would like to. And thirdly, what am I doing about it, or what would I like to be doing about it? What am I going to do about it? 5 minutes of reflection for all of us, and then breaking out into groups of, I would really like to suggest no more than four, three or four, so that there's maximum time to interact.
We come back here at what time?
We meet again at 20 past, or 25 past, we could say. All right, but first, 5 minutes of reflection. Silence. Thank you. How many are here from Pandav Bhavan? Charlie, There's about 15 people from Pandavavan. Do you think that they could stay here for lunch and go back at the 1:30? Yeah? So if you, I would like to keep the format as it is and invite those from Pandavavan to just be here for lunch and then go back at the 1:30 if that's okay with you. It's a big subject. It's nice to give it this time. 5 minutes silence. So we'll meet back again at 12:25, groups of 3 or 4. Thank you. You could be taking 1 or 2 more minutes to finish up. 1 or 2 more minutes to be finishing up. Thank you for being so prompt. It's 12:25. Does anybody want to bring up something? In front of Charlie, any questions, clarifications, please feel free. Or comments, anything you uncovered in your own sharing. It doesn't have to be a question or a clarification, but just something to add to the conversation so far. Gopi, you want to come up?
Things are very natural nowadays. I changed my position. I moved one chair further because a new chair came in between. So I think we don't have to think about positions or anything. It will happen. And sometimes we will be surprised that we take over other responsibilities or chances of Baba. But sometimes the things happen and we only have to be aware. And for me, the spiritual nourishment, the spiritual stage is the most important one.
Enchanté. Just on the level of responsibility, I was thinking that we should not wait, expect, and that someone is giving us responsibility, but it's just a question of awareness, consciousness, and just think about what to think about everything, and just, you know, as Baba say, good wishes, blessing, you know, respect, you know, that's our vision, and that is the responsible attitude, you know, that's it, you know, so everyone, even you finish the 7-day course, you can be responsible for the yagya, you know, you don't need 40 years.
Shirley from South Africa. The aspect about self-respect. Yesterday, a beautiful class that was given by Brother Anthony, which covered a lot on self-respect. And just a comment firstly, in terms of if we sustain ourselves well and fill the gaps where there's no needs, then we will be able to sustain others. But I like if Brother Charlie could just share a few points on how to adopt Baba's vision that Baba has for us in a powerful way.
Just yesterday I was sharing a few thoughts because I think there's various visions on the soul. There's the vision of the world, which will always categorize us according to sex, age, religion, culture. Very powerful force in the world today. It'll box us. There's the vision of other people, which today, because of what Shirley just said, lack of self-respect, you know, often, not always, but often it's very critical, it's judgmental, it makes a lot of assumptions about us. And then the most powerful vision is the vision on myself. And often I feel that we almost have subconscious beliefs about myself, you know, what I am and what I'm not. Beliefs that I'm not good as others, people don't love me, whatever those beliefs are, they're so strong that even when people offer love, I can't accept it because the vision on the self is often so strong. And often I feel it's the first relationship in life is the relationship with the self. And if it's a bit dysfunctional, it pollutes absolutely everything. But even though we have these three, when we come to Baba, Baba has a vision. And he sees beyond the whole present story in the soul. Baba's vision is to the original truth in the soul. And perhaps ultimately the definition of a knowledgeful soul is a soul who's willing to step out of the straitjacket of the vision of the world, the vision of this, you know, others, the vision of the self, and step into God's vision. And sometimes I think, you know, that one of the deepest parts of knowledge is that we have the whole part in our memory track. You know how our whole part is etched in our memory track. And the part of being an angel, the part of being a world benefactor, is in the near future. It's like it's invoking me to step into that part. And I, in a way, sometimes think that the whole story of the yajna is the story of those young girls who let go all those limited visions on themselves and stepped into God's vision with total faith that this is the truth. The others are just conditioned and they're limited and had the courage to sustain that vision. It's just a fantastic story. Rather than always, you know, when Baba says, you know, child, you're this or you're that. And I say, no, Baba, you don't really know what I'm really like. Imagine, we say that to God. Of course he knows what I'm like. It's me. I don't know what I'm like. I'm in denial of my original true self. It's actually me. And once Dadarananka Shaw, who was one of the great brothers, once he was asked, you know, how do you become one of the 108? And all he said was, step out of limitations. Self-imposed limitations. I can't do this. I'm not like this. I can't be. It's all a structure I've built in my head in the second half of the cycle. And if I begin to dismantle it, I can step into God's vision for me.
Can I ask you something?
Certainly, Sharona.
It's like what I've noticed as per this group, being over 15, is that this whole dynamic can also be extremely subtle. In other words, I might not even have realized that the reason why I'm still stuck is because on a very deep level, I have not yet accepted this vision on me. Do you have anything to say? Because it's one thing when it's obvious and a soul can just even recognize, I do not believe that this is me. And in the mind, that's what's being said. In the heart, parts of Baba's Murli are rejected because you just don't feel that's you. But this more subtle phenomena whereby you thought you had accepted it, but looking at where you're stuck and how you're stuck and patterns of self-destructiveness, which are still there, you logically conclude that maybe perhaps the seed of it is that this has not been accepted on a deep level. So, anything to say about that?
How to get out of it.
Yeah. You know, it's a tricky thing because I think, you know, we want to be honest with Baba. So, because I have rubbish in me, because I have impurity in me, because I have weaknesses in me, Baba says, child, you're here. And I feel, well, no, Baba, the reality is being honest, I'm still here. But in a sense, the honesty is keeping me stuck in a place because, you know, in one say, because I say, this is who I am. And what I've noticed with me is it's my whole sense of identity. Because, you know, identity is such a deep thing. It's how I view myself and it's the filter through which I see everything. And I so identify with limitations and weakness. And that is a reality I've lived with for many births. I say to Baba, honestly, Baba, this is what I'm really like. But because I don't see, and I think that's why Baba got us to spin the whole cycle. Because in a way, the spinning the cycle is visiting the sanskaras that are original and starting to develop a relationship with those original sanskars, that actually is the reality of myself. And the more I begin to identify with the pure me and the original me, automatically the limited, impure me, which I've held on to for so long, begins to go. And I mean, if you look at someone like Daddy's life, Daddy Jenki, I remember once in London, she said to us when I first started, she mightn't remember this herself, but she said, you know, I was a very timid young thing, and a dog a bark, and I'd sort of freak out, you know. She didn't use that word, but you know what I mean. She was a timid little girl. And look where she's come, because one of the things I've noticed with her, she's fearless. It's stepping in Baba's vision, keeping in Baba's vision is something, and she's had the courage to accept it. And if I can say, the wisdom to identify with God's vision rather than the world's vision, others' vision, and my own vision. Because sometimes I've asked myself the question, can I say I've recognized God if I still live with so many limitations? I don't think I've had full recognition. It's like I haven't really recognized his teaching. Because even though there's no doubt it's a process. Once we used to ask Daddyji, Daddyji would ask long questions. How do you do this? How do you get there? Like, you know, how do you get out of these? And she'd just say, just do it. Just be there. It's almost, and I began to realize, yes, it's like step into it. It's almost step into that, those sand scars, and have the faith that is actually the eternal reality. I'm stuck in the temporary reality. It's so real inside my head. But Baba's breaking us out into a new perception.
So it's like we could say stop, I mean, as a manner of speaking, stop being honest, quote unquote, and just skip over that and give more workouts to your heart and mind around the true identity.
I think so. I mean, obviously we have to be honest. But it's not sort of an honesty that keeps me stuck. I mean, Baba's definition of honesty was once using the treasures that you have in the way God wants. In other words, using thoughts, feelings, attitudes, words, actions, the way God wants. And because sometimes in using honesty, I remain stuck in limitation. But I have to be honest with myself, but move out of that space of I'm not, I can't, I never will be, you know, limitation. It's a powerful structure that's been in my head for a long time. That's why I think for me, service has been really useful, because I think service is service, but it's real stuff is there to develop us. Just constantly your push to step beyond our comfort zone. And you know, I honestly believe some Brahmins are constantly stepping beyond their comfort zone. Many BKs live within their comfort zone and say, I'm fine, I've got a good stage. You know, nothing upsets me because I never venture out into anything different. And I feel I'm really got a good stage. But actually, all I do is I live within this area where I'm never challenged. And that's why I live on the service field on many levels, you know. No, it's like you can live within your comfort zones in a sense, and meaning that I am stable when, you know, living within this daily environment with a few people I feel happy with, doing duties or responsibilities I can manage, but I don't step into an area which is a bit fearful to me, a bit scary, or I don't engage in things which will challenge me in some way. And that's why sometimes being in the service field just, it challenges us to change. That's why it's healthy.
So it sounds to me like you've identified one of the ways where we get stuck. Ooh. We are too comforted by the comfort zones and we lose our taste for adventure. And it's something that came up in our group, this kind of maybe subtle fear about how will I do outside the comfort zone.
Yes.
There's probably a whole can of worms connected to that too.
Mm.
Like, we don't want to battle anymore and we don't want to see ourselves going backwards, so we just prefer to stay within the perimeters of where we know we do well. I'm too old to challenge myself. So, Morni, what time do you think it has to end? Really? 50 minutes for lunch?
Yes. No, if we don't eat, we'll die.
All right.
Maybe there's time for one or two more comments, but if you really feel you need to leave, please feel free. It's no problem.
Yeah, lunch will still be served.
You know, I think most of us in this room have all been thrown into circumstances in our Brahman life where we felt completely unqualified for. I had no background, but Brahman life means you just have to do it. But I can tell you, it's the best thing. It's the best way to learn. Sometimes it's a bit terrifying at first to do some things. And for some people, it's so easy, they don't think twice. But for other people, to do seemingly some small responsibility is such a challenging thing. But when we do it once, we get a little bit more confidence, and I think it's a really healthy thing. That's why I think there's, you know how Baba often says, when we say haji to new things, I think we get the support of courage from Baba.
Anyone else?
I was just talking once, you know, one of the things I've found personally is that, you know, Brahma Baba once said, I can test the quality of a child by giving them responsibility and service. Because he knows, once you step out, there will be some who will subtly or not so subtly criticize or oppose you or whatever. It will happen. And one of the things which I feel really helps is, when we take on responsibility, we do it with our heart. It's Baba's task, but we mistake responsibility for control. And that's can be a huge problem. Because, you know, we want things to go in a certain way because it's Baba's task. Subtly, without realizing it, mentally, I start to try to control everything and people and how it should happen and what should happen. And honestly, I think that vibration repels people more than anything. You know? So it's like, how do I learn to be really responsible, keep boundaries and work things well, but not have that controlling behavior, because no one likes to be under that influence in that way. And that's a big lesson. Because many of us sometimes learn the hard way, doing what we feel is right from our heart, but actually we were being too controlling or dominating in that way. And that creates dynamics in the family which can be challenging and can be quite difficult. And that's where I think the best qualification for an instrument is humility. This, I'm convinced. And Daddy Prakashmani was the greatest example of, quite frankly, I felt a lot of times the yagya ran on her egolessness. It did. When you have someone as the absolute leader who's egoless, has no vested interest for her own self-glorification in any way, would fulfill everyone's wishes, that purity helped everything move forward. And I feel, you know, people can know all the systems and customs and management methods, but they won't work unless I'm absolutely humble, because I should feel the self-respect that I'm Baba's instrument. But if I, you know, when arrogance comes in, as we know, that's in all its multi-form varieties, that's the basis of conflict. It emerges in so many ways. And that's why I was saying before that when you live in the heart of the family, the arrogance, and I stay, and to be very honest, some people move away from the family very critical. And it's like they lost the best opportunity to understand their own ego and resolve their own ego. It's the best opportunity working in the heart of the family. But sometimes they move away, you know, critical or unhappy because, you know, things didn't happen the way I wanted them to. One of the things which I've, and I'll stop in just a sec, but I've loved what Baba said in the last few years, when he was saying that the way that ego manifests these days is just the thought, I am right. You think about that. How deep is that? My perception of what's happening is the right perception. My understanding is the right understanding. You know? How deep is that? And yet, you know, I have the right method. That's sort of, you know, I think we have to be so humble and yet at the same time responsible. Because ultimately the freedom in this life is, you know, it's God's work. It's God's work. It's Baba's work. I'm just the instrument. And I believe the more we are in that consciousness, the more opportunity we get from Baba. But it's, I think really becoming a true instrument is a long, 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 long journey. I really do. It's easy to say. It's the easiest thing to say. But from your heart, to genuinely give up my ego to God and just feel it's really his task. I think it's a, you know, that's deep spirituality, very deep spirituality, I feel.
Kind of makes me think that one underlining solution to any of our stuck places is this whole phenomena of faith, the power of faith. In this case, we're seeing faith that it is God's task and he is going to get it done, and I am that instrument through whom he's going to get it done. Because it just occurs to me, listening to this, that maybe one of the reasons we are in a comfort zone and we don't want to come out is because we know how much we did things before from ego and from a controlling nature, and we're afraid to make those mistakes again. We're afraid to hurt ourselves and Baba's task. But this faith that we've changed and we are those instruments and our processes are bringing us forward, that should also encourage us to take up this role that's being offered and step up to the wonder of it all. So good food for thought as we go for food for the stomach. Thank you very much, Charlie. Your time with us is so nourishing. Yeah. Maybe we finish with a minute.